sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. That's our comfort, that is our hope, that is our assurance. We can take our Savior at his word. We remain seated as the offering is taken up in the first part of the hymn. Thank you. Amongst the sheep of our Saviour's pasture. Lord, he is a good shepherd who keeps his sheep. Lord, we do pray that as we come to your word this morning, that you would prepare our hearts, grant us those meek and teachable spirits, Lord, that say yea and amen when they hear the word of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would give us understanding. Help our brother as he ministers, may he know the joy and power of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, we thank you for the offerings of your people. We pray, Lord, your blessing over that money. May it be used wisely and for the extension of your kingdom, we pray. We give thanks in Jesus' name. chilly, isn't it? And get the warm blood on your knee. Testing 1, 2. 1, 2, is it? Is it working, Billy? Testing 1, 2. Yeah. Well, let us come before the Lord in prayer, ask the Lord's anointing and blessing, and invoke his presence in this place. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your precious word. As the Apostle Peter has said, it is a lamp unto our feet in a dark place. And we are in a dark place where the world is at the moment. In this age we live where everything is being, as it were, shrouded. Truth is being attacked. And as it were, they're trying to, Lord, put out the lamp of your word and truth. But Lord, we thank you for your grace, that you still allow us to come together, sit around your word. You anoint and give gifts to the church so the church can may hear it and guide their lives by it. We thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the one that helps us in our weaknesses in hearing the word, that you open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our understanding to be illuminated. Help us, increase us in the light and knowledge of the word. I do pray for those who are not truly in the kingdom. Holy Spirit, if they are the elect, I pray that this is the day. This is the day of salvation for them. And for those who are yet still afar off, hearing your voice, and hopefully they may see the light and be drawn today closer than ever to their salvation. But we pray for those who are not truly chosen and elected, that they may be warned and exhorted, that they may understand that there is a just requirement upon them, and hope that they may repent, even to fulfill the covenant of works that was given to Adam's race. In Jesus' name, help me, your servant, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly divide the scriptures, equipping the saints for works of service in your kingdom. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, in this hour, I pray. Amen. Well, my message today really is I'm preaching in regards of the epistle of 1 Peter and 2 Peter, hopefully, God willing, next week. Looking at 1 Peter chapter 1 and then chapter 2. 2nd Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, and next week, chapter 2. And if you have your Bible with you, I would like you, if you can follow with me, so that the Lord can shine his light upon the word to us. And reading from 2nd Peter, chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if we do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my disease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this, first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, they were moved, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our minds, our hearts, and our understanding. As we learn here, the Apostle Peter is giving us some directives here, some guidance in how we can basically live that life that God has called us to live. In a world where we live today, everything is so uncertain. Things are changing all the time. It's as it were, we're seeing the birth pangs as Jesus prophesied in Matthew chapter 24. There are wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of things happening right now, and how we need this, the word of God, more than ever. One of the things I really appreciate about the Reformation that took place way back there in the early 1500s and so on was the fact that the church, the true church, the elect, the called out ones, was brought out of the darkness of religiousness and idolatry of Catholicism. And that one of the true effects of the Reformation was that they came back to God's word and began to establish again the regulative principle of worship based upon the foundations and the truth and knowledge of God's word. I thank God today that there are churches that have remained faithful to his word, especially also, as I mentioned, as the days are getting darker. We have a sure light to guide us until that wonderful day when our Lord Jesus comes back and takes us to be with him, that he will find those who have been faithful, trusted, and relied upon his word, that we won't be guilty, according to Matthew chapter 7, as he said, that many will come to me in the last days, and they will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons and do all these things in your name?" And he says to them, "Depart from me, I do not know you, you workers of iniquity." They relied upon their religiousness and their piety and used the name of Jesus in many ways. and thought by their own works that they would be accepted even if they did some kind of miracle. We know Judas Iscariot was sent out by the 12 to heal the sick and cast the demons out, but yet he wasn't a son of God. And I thank God that what Peter is giving us is a sure word that we must obey. Amen? We must follow. And the way he puts it is not in a way where it's a kind of a strict exhortation, but he shows us the benefits of God's word. That is still, we can benefit from it. All the things that people in society today are seeking. I was reading the other day, I was in someone's home and they had this big bookshelf, and I looked through the bookshelf to see if there was anything there that they had of Christian teaching or anything. And I noticed in the shelf was a series of books or a few books there, and there was these books about seeking how to be powerful. 12 steps to be powerful. And there was the book of the Satanist book, Anton LaVey, and these books. And there was these books on how to meditate and get peace. All these things. And I realized, and it dawned on me as Paul was in Athens and he saw the statues and he was grieved. And I realized that people out there, you know, we assume, don't we? We think that people are okay because they put on a good veneer and facade, that they've got life all worked out. But that gave me a glimpse, and I believe the Holy Spirit gave me a glimpse that the world is not okay. People are not all right out there. They don't have what you and I have. God's word and the richness and the blessing and the fruits that we gain from it. The worship that we can come together. We should never take it for granted as we sit here in God's presence. God is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Jesus and those, he's come to be with us, to fellowship with us through the Spirit, to partake of the communion and do all these things that gives us peace and joy, not as the world gives. As Jesus said, John 14:24, peace I give you, not as the world gives, the peace of God. And so the Reformation was a powerful move of God. And you know, I've come from a denominational background where it's made a high premium of the revivals of God and the Spirit of God. And I used to hear revival, revival, revival. No, we need reformation. We don't need a revival. We need a reformation constantly, every day. We need to reform to God's word because it's there God meets us with his truth. It's there where we become those fruitful Christians that God wants us to be. As I got this quote from a book, Captive to the Word, and it says, Christ-centered preaching is the source of hope, comfort, and life for the regenerated believer. Those touched by the love of God desire above all to hear faithful preaching, which directs them to their mediator and savior, Jesus Christ. By the 16th century, the Roman Catholic Church had removed this source of comfort and encouragement from the saints. Empty relics and complex liturgies replaced the personal, powerful preaching of the Word of God. Thank goodness that the Catholic Church doesn't have that power today. Thank goodness that we have men like Martin Luther, John Calvin, Martin Gusen, all these ones who stood up and was ready to lose their lives for the sake of God's truth, so that one day you and I can have it so freely and abundantly. And church, let me tell you, it's been taken away from us in this age we're living in. You see the laws of the government You see the laws of what they're trying to do, the politicians. They say in the name of peace and tolerance, but we know that's not true. It's a ruse. It's a worldly kind of peace. And they use that in order to turn the hearts of the nation even against this word, to outlaw it. But we know that they will not prevail in the end. For our God is a conquering God. John Calvin shared this conviction with respect to the centrality of Christ in the preaching and the life of the saints, demonstrating it by a life committed to preaching. Calvin knew and believed that most important means that would be able to bring reform to wicked Geneva was the preaching of the word. By the grace of God, the history of Geneva's reform is a testimony to the power of God through faithful Christ-centered preaching. Oh, that I hope and I wish that Perth, Australia, will become reformed. Wouldn't it be nice that we see another great reformation before Christ comes back? And I pray that God would do it again, even greater, spreading beyond Europe to these parts of the world, even to the ancient parts of the world. And I pray, God, give us another reformation. God, give us a reformation in our churches. I see division and divisiveness. I see that everyone has their own idea of God and religiousness. But we must come back to the Word of God. We must come back to those whom God has appointed to preach the Word, to teach us the Word again, not having our own minds what we think what religion is, what we think how God wants us to worship. I've even spoken to those who are not even ordained to teach the Word of God. Teach me. Though I don't doubt that saints can teach one another. But they will enter into the depths of doctrine and theology where they have had no education and study. And I don't say this in a condescending manner. I say this because it's a serious thing to handle the Word of God. We only have to look at the Old Testament and saw how God dealt with those who mishandled any aspect of the tabernacle and even with the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, who offered strange fire on the altar and they were struck down. Just because we live in a time of grace doesn't mean God will not discipline those who mishandle and twist his word. We must be very careful. And as we see here, that divine, Peter is bringing out, and you notice in this chapter 1 that he talks about divine knowledge. He mentions it 3 times. What I learned from these verses is that divine knowledge teaches us how to access divine power of God, which helps us to live a fruitful, godly, and blessed life. Without divine knowledge, you cannot be fruitful. You cannot be the way God wants us to be. We cannot engage. We cannot access the things that God has for us unless it's true, the divine knowledge. As he says here in chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our God and of Jesus Christ. There it is, knowledge. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is through lust. Divine knowledge helps us escape the lust of the flesh, helps us to escape the things that hold us back in this world, in our sinfulness, in the world. Divine knowledge helps us to become that fruitful Christian that we are called to be. John Calvin states, grace and peace. By grace is designated God's eternal favor to us. We have indeed been once for all reconciled to God by the death of Christ, and by faith we come to the possession of this so great benefit. But as we perceive the grace of God according to measure of our faith, it is said to increase according to our perception when it becomes fully known. See, we ought to be growing in our faith, amen? We ought to be increasing in our knowledge. We don't take in God's word, if we don't educate ourselves in God's word, how can we expect to have the divine fruits of that knowledge coming out of our lives? This is the reason why we send our children to school, don't we? That we educate them so they know how to live life. Without educating them, they have no chance. Without parents guiding them, we need God's word, church, to live the life that God wants us to have the fruit. John Calvin states that through the knowledge, he says here, for the more anyone advances in the knowledge of God, every kind of blessing increases. Every kind of blessing increases. Also equally with the sense of divine love. Whosoever then aspires to the full fruition of the blessed life, which is mentioned by Peter, must remember to observe the right way. He connects together at the same time the knowledge of God and of Christ, because God cannot be rightly known except in Christ, according to that saying, Matthew 11:27. No one knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal. It also mentions in verse 5, and besides this, in 2 Peter 1:5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness. He says, for if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith should never be devoid of these things, the fruits. It's like he's quoting Paul in Galatians 5:22, and the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering. And he said, Paul says, those who have these things, have escaped the judgment and wrath that comes through the works of the flesh. And he says, your faith should not be devoid. And there's a reason why he says that. Because, there are people that go around, don't they? They say, oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I remember a man in a church I was pastoring. He was the caretaker of the community hall. And I would invite him to come to church. And he said, no, I go to church. My church is out there, wherever I want it to be. He says he believes in God. But he's devoid of those fruits that come from someone who truly reads the word, believes it, and lives it. Where is our fruit? Where is your fruit? Are you growing? Are you yielding the fruit that you get from taking in God's word through your own prayer and meditation of the word, through the receiving of the preaching of the word? Are you taking it? Are you hearing? I see some of you taking notes, and that's a good thing. It's got nothing to be with about me. It's about what the Holy Spirit wants you to hear, that helps you to grow, to increase in the light and the knowledge of God's word, so that you are fruitful branches in the vine. And so we learn here that our faith should not be devoid of these fruits. Not enough to say, I believe in Jesus, and never follow his word, never increase in the knowledge and the light, and bear those fruit that also enhances that knowledge. Nothing worse when you talk to someone who's puffed up with knowledge. It sounds very obnoxious to listen to a person who has so much knowledge and puffed up, but they have no love. There's no that gentleness and humbleness and graciousness where they even esteem others higher than ourselves. All the fruits and the wonderful nature of the Spirit, Holy Ghost of Christ in our lives. That we, in our knowledge, that knowledge is working in us and through us. Not that we have a head full of knowledge where we go and then we dump it on someone else. Just so you can make yourself look better than them. How intelligent I am. Now we use the knowledge to bear fruit. So we use the fruit in hope that we might attract them to God in Christ. You know, when you're in the presence of a godly person who's humble, you want to be there. You want to learn from them, don't you? Because they're humble. Their fruit is coming from the knowledge of God's word. And as he says here in verse 8, for these things be in you, then they will make you productive and fruitful. Reminds me of that verse in Matthew chapter 11 about Luke, about the fig tree. Jesus walked past the fig tree and it had no fruit. Our Lord was hungry. He wanted to eat, but there was nothing there, and he cursed it. On the way back, it was gone. It was withered. Everything that Jesus does is to teach us something, right? He didn't do anything just willy-nilly. Everything had a purpose. It kind of thought of this, what Peter was saying, is that when he comes back and he comes to you, will he see fruit in your life that he can take, that he can be glorified with, that he can say, well done, faithful servant. You've been faithful. You've been faithful to my word. You did my word in the face of opposition, in a generation that we're living right now where Christians are being persecuted and hated and the word of God is being despised. But will we stand? Will you stand for the truth? So that when he comes back, he says, well done, faithful servant. You've done well. And then he goes on. And you notice in verse 12 and down to verse 15, he mentions it three times, remembrance. Verse 12, therefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir up by putting you in remembrance. Verse 14, he goes on, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, or I'm going to die, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my disease, to have these things always in remembrance. You know, when something is mentioned more than once in the Bible, we have to take note. And that's what Peter's saying, and what I'm saying. Take note, church. Remembrance. Remembrance is the key to keeping ourselves strong and fruitful in our faith. Matthew Henry states, we need to put in mind of what we already know to prevent our forgetting it and to prove our knowledge and reduce all to practice. We must be established in the belief of the truth, that we may not be shaken by every wind of doctrine, and especially in that which is the present truth, the truth more peculiarly necessary for us to know in our day, that which belongs to our peace and which is more especially opposed in our time. The great doctrines of the gospel that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. So the people are to be well instructed and established therein, and yet must, after all their attainment in knowledge, be put in mind of such things as cannot be too clearly known, nor too firmly believed. The most advanced Christian cannot, while in this world, be above ordinances, nor beyond the need of those means which God has appointed and does afford. And if the people need teaching and exhortation while they are in the body, it is very meet and just that ministers should, as long as they are in this tabernacle, instruct and exhort them and bring those truths to their remembrance that they have formerly heard, this being a proper means to stir them up to be diligent and lively in the course of the gospel obedience. We must take pains, church, to remember God's word. Do you have that part of your life where you sit before God, you take time where you not only you pray, which is so important, but we open the word and we ask the Lord to guide us and teach us? Are we diligent in coming to church and hearing the word preached? And doing everything so that Satan doesn't come snatch the word from us, or the world doesn't drown out God's truth from us. We need to be more and more remembering prolifically God's word, digesting it, studying it, keeping it in the fore of our thinking all the time, so that we're not going to go astray or forget. It's interesting, isn't it? Even the world, you know, knows to keep those things that are important to remembrance. You go to King's Park and you've got that monument there, and it states, "Lest we forget." The world knows how important it is to remember those things that are important in life. We must also have that discipline in our lives. Be duty bound to remember the truth that He's left with us. Jesus paid a high price to leave us the Word of God. The apostles paid a high price. The reformers paid a high price so that we can have God's Word before us. You go to some of these countries today where the Word of God is outlawed. You can't carry your Bible openly. You can't quote God's Word without being some negative ramification done to you, probably thrown in jail. I hear in China, the good brothers and Christians there, I had a Chinese missionary once in my home tell me that they would tear out leaves of the Bible and they would share it with one another, because if they got caught, they could be thrown into jail and tortured. So each one would have a page of the Bible. How blessed we are. Let us never forget. Let us be reminders, remembering, always, not only remembering, but reminding. And that's our job as preachers and teachers of God's Word. Our job is not to be up here like we see in some of these modern churches where the preacher is some great, orator and, entertainer. No, that's not our job. As Paul says, as apostles, we are on the back of the line of the procession. That's the way we are. We're here to serve, to remind, so that you can be fruitful. Because we stand before God one day, and He will ask us how faithful we were as ministers in preaching God's word. Or did you lead the people astray? Remember that story when Moses was up in the mountain and Aaron got scared and he said he threw the gold into the fire, this idol came out? We, as preachers, must be also faithful. That's why it's important, church, that you do not let the world. It's important that you pray for the preachers that the lamp doesn't go out and live, because then darkness will take over all of us. I'm hurrying through my points here. I'm trying to cover as much as I can to equip you in these days. I'm concerned about these days that we live in, I don't know about you, but it's terrifying how the ideology that's out there, now we have the internet, everyone's accessible to all this knowledge that's out there, that's shrouding the minds of people and the little children as well. Now the enemy knows he can reach everybody in their homes. He can reach your children. And if you think you can cut them off from the media at home, they go to school and they have teachers out there who are teaching them such wicked things. Who would ever thought that children are being taught that there's no such thing as man and woman? Who would ever thought that? That's Genesis 1:27 being wiped out by these educators. Who would ever thought that the ideology is coming out of the government now, where they are promoting idolatry? That's what the whole thing of the voice is, isn't it? That we give to the heathen, that we give to the idolaters, their worship of satanic things. And that the Christian and the God, Bible, and the things is shoved aside. And as in my last point, the knowledge of God is the true and supreme light that shows the true way of life. Don't be told any other way, church. God's word is the only way, as Peter says. We have also a more sure word in verse 19 of prophecy, where you do well that you take heed as unto a light shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. He says to keep looking to the light of God's word. Keep treating it like a lamp unto your lifestyle. Keep it there until the brightness increases in you. The day star rose. We know one day when Jesus comes back, everything will be made bright. But we are to make sure that the heart, our minds, are constantly alight with God's word every day, because the days are evil. The days we are living in are evil. And more so now than ever, we need to increase the light, the true knowledge. We hear knowledge out there all the time. People are saying they have the 12 steps of this and 10 steps of that, and, you know. But the real, true knowledge is God's word, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Time is just about gone. But I want to encourage you, church, today, that you would rearrange your time. Maybe you don't have the time because you're busy. But isn't that exactly what the devil wants? For us to be busy enough that we don't go to the house of God, we don't go to prayer, we don't go to the word, and honor him, and to show him that he is the one, number one most important person in our life. And his word is our instruction. Your children get up for school tomorrow, and you will be there instructing them. Did you get your lunch? Did you get this book? Did you do your homework? How much do we need to go to our Father's house so that he can instruct us through his word to set us off into the day, so that whatever meets us, God's word and lamp guides us. That's how important it is. And we cannot afford not to have the time for it. May I encourage you, church? Schedule it in your schedule. Even if you have to get up half an hour early, it's worth it. It's worth it. You could always have a nap sometime in the day or whatever. But even if you have to get up half an hour early to open God's word and to pray and seek him and ask the Holy Spirit for guidance, we need to look there. If you are not a regular church goer, I encourage you to belong to a local fellowship that is evangelically sound, preaches the word and nothing but the word of God. Not getting too caught up on the frivolous things to entertain us, but God's word. Give me God's word. As one preacher said, if a preacher does not preach God's word, he has no business in the pulpit. So I encourage you, church. Let that lamp light before you every day until the brightness grows in you and the fruit is flourishing through your life to such a degree that God is being glorified. Amen. Let us close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. It is truly a word, Lord, that we need every day. We need your word every day. You said, Lord Jesus, your word is truth. And if we believe in the truth sets us free. We need the liberty of the truth. We need the light to shine in us to such a degree that the day star dawns, illuminating every aspect of our being. We need, Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear properly. Unstop the dullness and the deafness that the voices of this age is drowning the word out. All that white noise, cut it out, Father, so that we hear the still voice, the quiet, gentle voice of your word given to us by the Holy Spirit who indwells us and is with us. Come, sweet Spirit of God, counsel us today. Teach us. Increase our passion for the love and for the things of the kingdom of our God until Christ comes back. I pray for each one here, if there be their hearts and love going cold, revive them today. Reform them in your word. And make, O Lord, the hearts that may be hardened, Lord, hearts of flesh again that are passionate for you. Come, sweet Spirit of God, and fill each one till they're overflowing with word and power, that they may be fruitful branches of the vine. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have some fellowship. I always used to say in my church, let's have some sincere fellowship. And it's true, you know, as Peter says, we need to show sincere love for one another. Amen. Let's not just talk to people that we love, that share our interests, but just talk to those that don't have the same interests in us. Because we need to show love for one another as well, because of the knowledge that helps us to do that. Amen. Let's just have some sweet fellowship. Amen. Thank you.